Hello and welcome to Musings on 39. It's episode 3 and I'm hoping you guys have checked out our other two episodes. If you have not, do so. And I'm joined by my co-hosts, Goody and Tubbs. What's up, guys? How's your day been? What's cracking in your guys' life?
Hello, hello, hello there. How you gentlemen doing? Episode 3, lads. Let's get it on the road. Tubbs, what's cracking on your side, bro?
Hey guys, it's good to be back again for another great episode. For reference, today, the date of recording is the 15th of April and Manchester United have just moved on through to the next round of the Europa League.
Oh, wow. They went past the semis, but home, that's a chat for another time.
No, but really, it's been a good week up till now. Thanks again to all of our listeners and to new listeners coming, joining aboard with us. Boys, how are you feeling this week? Champions League was pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would like to hear your guys' opinion because a few big boys bowed out of the Champions League in the past or last night and the previous evening. Porto are out after their magnificent games against Juventus. And Liverpool also bow out in a mishit match.
You'll never walk alone. Liverpool for life.
The highlight for me of the couple.
Now, before I slash your tires, then yes, you will walk home alone.
Oh, geez, that's proper street mentality going on here. But
yes, bro, I'll take him to the south. Then we'll see.
No, chill out, my dude.
The interesting for me of last night's games were the after City went through, Phil Foden, a young prodigy, decides to personally tweet Mbappe. I think it was like you next or something about that line.
Yeah. Phil Foden, somewhat of a breakout season for him, given City's injuries. But to call out Mbappe, he has to have big coconuts to call out Mbappe. But I did see, I'm not sure if you, Kian or Tub, saw that this whole tweet actually didn't come from Phil Foden. This whole tweet actually came from, apparently there's a company that Phil Foden pays and they like manage his social media and whatnot. And they put that tweet out, not Phil Foden. And I was reading some articles on social media today that apparently Phil Foden and people close to him are quite upset. Yeah, so it said Phil Foden, but it wasn't Phil Foden's words. What do you boys make up of this debacle, if you call it?
I think he should have just owned the tweet. It's not such a bad thing, I would say, to be showing a little bit of confidence after a fantastic victory against Borussia Dortmund, who were...
Fair enough, but on what grounds does Foden have to call out Mbappe? Mbappe, it would be different if like De Bruyne called out Mbappe or something like that. But Foden, what does he have
How
to his name?
They?
No, I think...
It's like
How
when...
old is Foden at? I think he's like 18.
Mbappe, I think he's like 19.
Yeah, and Mbappe's
20 or... No, he's 22. He's 22. But the thing is, Foden is a young prodigy. But as I agree with you, Tubbs, I think if you're going to make bold state, look, one thing is the tweet is making people talk about him. So in a point, it's actually a good bit of publicity. But in the other hand, it goes down to more about he didn't personally send it. And I think there's a lot of, it's probably not fair to get outraged by the tweet because, as you said, it's not big. But it's just a bold statement. It's like me cooking my little steak here and I'm calling out Gordon Ramsay. I know people do that too, but in a joking manner. It's not like I'm being serious. And that's
you
where
said it's a joke.
That's what I'm saying. No one said it's a joke. That's why it's a bit like, who is who now? Like, people don't know how they should take the tweet, especially now that everyone knows it's not from him himself.
But there's a lot of like these social media managers these days. And I mean, these people do get paid the big bucks.
Well, I mean, I suppose they should be paid big bucks. I mean, they're dealing with what, a couple million followers? I mean, like probably a couple hundred thousand DMs a day.
I mean, like, look at Ronaldo. I don't think he manages all of his social medias alone. I'm sure he has a team behind him that...
Not a chance. Not a chance.
He has too many things going on around him. He has his own brand to look after. He has his...
I think he takes some of the photos. Like, he'll take a photo and then send it off to his social media person and be like, hey, I want this posted. But I suppose, just to add on to what Keanu said, sorry to cut you off, Tubbs, but if you football fans, like just strictly speaking football here, or even if you look at some celebrities, I mean, if you're messaging someone in that realm, in the very popular world, like if I message Steven Gerrard, my footballing idol, is it really him responding, or is it just social media, or is it even a bot?
Or is it even, will he ever respond?
Or will he ever respond? Yeah, that's also a thing. But if he does respond, was it him? Or was it like an algorithm that sees what message you sent and just comes up with a standardized response or something like that? I'm not trying to call these people out. And I'm not saying that like people are saying that, but I just think that sometimes you get a response from someone, but it's not really them.
So it's quite strange, because for me, it feels should these, like, it ties in with the previous episode to a point about the abuse and stuff. So if there are people running the account and stuff, is that fine for everyone else? Because I understand you guys are talking about big names, Ronaldo and the main stars of the footballing world. The thing is, do these players actually also should have like a say over what's happening? Or what do you guys think? Do you think it's better that there's like people that kind of block them so that they don't maybe give their own personal opinions, because it could bring them in trouble? Or do you guys think that it actually should be the players that have 100 or let's say at least 90% of control of what's going on their social media?
I think I'd say the closer you come to the big time, you should be getting yourself a team, because I'm sure you have so many other obligations to take care of. You know, you have all these other players such as Marcus Rashford who are starting their own with the food drive. I don't really know exactly the correct word, what to call it. In any case, when a player gets these massive, when they have these massive obligations, when they go to training, they should have these kinds of teams. But like younger players who are still developing, who are still establishing themselves in their leagues, they should take it upon themselves to manage it personally.
I do not know about that. I'm sorry.
Can I cut in here?
You can hit it, Cam. You can have it.
I think we're missing a very important factor. This isn't way back when Facebook came out. We need to look at social media now as it's pretty much a company. It's a business, right? These players that have, even people who have 500,000 followers, it's a business. It's strictly a business. You make money off of it. And when it comes to business stuff, you need people that are knowledgeable in that to make your account as productive as possible. Ronaldo earns more money from his Instagram than his contract with Juventus. So that just shows you the level of impact that social media has on the current world. I mean, even if you look at someone like Phil Foden, how many followers does he have? Like, what, probably 100, 200,000, maybe more?
I think he's close to a mil, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
But he's going to get paid by Instagram. So it makes only sense for him to have people who are more knowledgeable on the algorithms, the financial management, to manage that account. And I also think these guys are also working professionals. You know, the last thing that I would want to do at the end of the day is come home. And of course, I do think there should be some personal interaction. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, like, you know, you're coming home and, you know, you have a million or 2, 3, 4 million followers and whatnot, you know, to manage all of that, it's going to be quite difficult. You know, I'm not talking about your local influencer here. We're talking about people top tier. And even if you look at celebrities and stuff like that, I think it's only fair that they have companies take hold of it because of the money that they make from it. And I think most people are looking at social media as a business, especially given COVID and everything. Like, it's a very clever way to make a living. I've seen people who've even on TikTok, people who lost their jobs during COVID or something like that, and they are full on TikTok influencers now. And that also comes with pros and cons, but you get my point.
The thing is, for me, it just takes it's such a care about the image and that there's no like authenticity to players and celebrities, etc., because of these companies that take over. So I do agree, because their image is everything for them to a certain extent. And as you said, they have sponsorship, they have deals that they need to, they can't just go and
also just on the side. Just on the side, I'm not saying everyone does this. I'm not saying like,
oh, you're not
our local influencer or every footballer does this. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, to me, it makes sense if they do have that. That's just what I'm trying to say, if you know what I mean. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, if they are making quite a fair bit of nosh from it, it makes only sense that you treat it like a business.
I did quickly have a look at how many followers does Phil Foden have. He's at 500,000, just so you know. And Kylian Mbappe is at 5.9 million. But that could also be a ploy to also perhaps gain a bit more traction, a bit more popularity. But social media, the first word is there. It's social. It should not only be a business aspect, but it should also be a social aspect. It should also be a way of players to interact with their fans and supporters. Like, one thing that popped up the other day out of nowhere, one of the best players at Manchester United at the moment, Bruno Fernandes, had a random Q&A session. Of course, it was probably under, you know, supervision by a social media manager or whomever, but there was some fan interaction there. Fans could ask a question and, you know, you had the chance to be answered or not, but, you know, there should be a mixture of fan interaction, social aspect to it, and also then there should be the business aspect. That's my opinion on the whole matter.
Yeah, I agree with it. It makes sense. For me, I think these younger players definitely should be protected. I think they are maybe not as savvy with the social media as they still getting new into how to protect your image and how to act on social media according to the other professionals.
There should be courses about that. I definitely need one of those.
I really think that it is essential for them. But then again, it's as you said, it has to be a social aspect, and it takes away from, I'm pretty sure, as you mentioned, the Q&A of Fernandes, just getting a question answered by someone who you idolize and you look up to so dearly means so much to people. Although some people won't realize that maybe it was actually a manager of account just replying to you, they'll still take it well. But I think it means so much more if it were to be professionals. So I agree with both of you guys that I think there's a place for both. But it just, for me, it, as I said, it just takes the authenticity of players' interaction completely out of the game. And it's more, as Cameron said, it's a business. I want to maintain my image. I care about my image. And it just doesn't feel always right. I understand it is the way it is going, and it should probably be like that. I don't know. I just feel a bit confused about how people should feel it, or how people should feel if their professionals are typing out certain messages. Or is it them? Is it not them? Who is it actually typing this? So I don't know what you guys to think on that. Lastly,
Cam, I just want to get your final thoughts on it. But before it gets out of my mind, there is something that Keanu mentioned there that I do want to bring into the next topic. But Cam, please, let's hear your thoughts.
Look, I think it's a very tricky situation, almost like a double-edged sword, if I could be completely honest with you. We want the personal interaction. We want to engage with them, but you need to be realistic. Just looking at Mbappe, I mean, he has a larger following than some countries have a population. I think it would be incredibly harsh to look at that. I think we also need to understand, with regard to the Phil Foden thing, any publicity is good publicity in the modern day. You know, he's not going to get any bad responses to that. If anything, like you said, he's going to be trending and whatnot. I'm not too sure if I would agree with that. Maybe young players should be protected.
Maybe not protected, but like they should have some supervision or someone to, you know, make sure that they're not.
No, yes, of course. Maybe some, almost like a mentor in that regard or not. Because I also think, you know, people need to understand that by going onto social media means putting yourself out there. And putting yourself out there means that you have to open yourself up to criticism and whatnot. Linking up with episode 2, but you know, there's a difference between giving an opinion and discrimination. Yeah, it's like I said, double-edged sword. Some people are going to say yay, some people are going to say nay.
Yeah, lest we forget about what happened earlier this season about Phil Foden and Mason Greenwood being kicked out of the England international team. I think that those are the situations where players need to be, younger players especially, need to be guided in these certain aspects, you know.
Fully agree with that. I think Dele Alli was also under a couple of, he made some, a few graphic things also reemerged.
Yeah, but I disagree with that though. You need to understand that these are young boys or young men, you know, like they also going to want to go out and want to go do that. I understand that they broke team rules. Now that's different, but I mean, like, continuously putting these young chaps under this microscope all the time. Excuse me. No wonder why they end up getting companies to manage their socials, you know, because then they can go and do whatever they want to do and they control what's out there. You know, there is a lot of pressure on them at the current moment. I mean, look at Jude Bellingham. Man, 17 years old, and he was trending on Twitter last night. So yeah, I just also think maybe we need to give a little bit of the young guys a little bit more slack and acknowledge that they are young. They are going to make mistakes. You can't tell me like Ronaldo or Messi or Ronaldinho and co, when they were younger, they didn't mess up. The fact is that nobody really knows because social media wasn't big back then. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. Let's not put these players under microscope. Let's just accept the fact that they are developing, they are learning. Let's just hope that they don't make any major bad decisions that can cost them their career in the long run. But there was actually something that Keanu mentioned earlier that I actually wanted to hop onto as our next topic here. Keanu mentioned something about...
What? That Mbappe is his favorite player?
You mentioned the word right there, favorite or idolized. I'd like us to, you know, share with our listeners out there and with each other our favorite players, you know, around the world, past and present. Let's talk about as well, like, your favorite players from your respective team, from Liverpool, and I'll say mine from Manchester United. And then let's also maybe say, like, you know, I'll mention my favorite players from Liverpool and you guys mention your favorite players from United.
Oh, that sounds good to me, my man. That sounds...
Well, if I can be perfectly honest with you, there is only one, and he is the GOAT. Number 8, Stevie G. Once a legend, always a legend.
Well, let's structure this up. Start off with our teams.
Favorite player for Liverpool of the past, Steven Gerrard. And probably present favorite player in the Liverpool team, probably Trent, another Scouser.
How dare you not like Henderson?
I do like Henderson. I think he's very good.
It's very difficult because the person that made me really fall in love with football was probably Fernando Torres.
Bingo.
Because of the Euro 2008. And then currently, favorite player. It's very difficult for me to say at the moment because usually Liverpool tend to have one or two guys that are outstanding and the rest are questionable. Where the last couple of years, it's been insanely good. So Virgil van Dijk's my favorite player currently from Liverpool. What about you, Tubbs?
So it's going to be maybe a little bit an odd one. But from the past Manchester United teams, you know, we have so many to choose from. Gary Neville, David Beckham, Rio Ferdinand, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes.
Did you seriously just say Gary Neville?
He is a United legend. Thank you very much.
He's a better pundit than what he was a footballer.
He's definitely a better pundit than Jamie Carragher.
Player. Yeah, fair.
End of story.
No. You can't say that. They are like Tom and Jerry. They are like Tom and Jerry. You can't get Carragher without Neville, and you can't get Neville without Carragher. Like, they just work so well together.
They're like pop and flavor, like peanut butter and jelly. Give me another analogy, but another one, boys. Come on.
Can it be R-rated?
No, please, no.
You kind of said the best ones. Pop and place is always good. If you guys have seen the movie Sausage Party, the Vienna tomorrow.
I don't care about...
Jeez, okay, Keanu's right. My favorite past United player has to be Nemanja Vidic, purely because of what a brilliant defender he was. He always threw his body on the line. He was always such a... When Rio needed someone to rely on, Vidic was always there. It was just a different caliber of defender in that United back line. He's definitely missed. We haven't gotten anyone close to that quality ever. I would say he's my favorite because, you know, back when I used to play football in high school, I used to play as a defender, and I used, you know, Nemanja Vidic as an example, as a role model. But coming to the present United team, I would say my favorite player has to be Bruno Fernandes. I know he's been here for such a short amount of time, but he's been a definite revelation. And just, you know, yeah, he's just a brilliant all-round player.
Wasn't expecting that answer, to be fair. But all right, now do we have to say our favorite player from the rival team?
Sir.
Is that where it's going? All right, well, Tabs, you can start.
All right, fine. Of the past, it's going to be Steven Gerrard. He's been with the same team for his whole career. He never reached that illustrious Premier League trophy, but he has been able to carry Liverpool through its roughest and darkest times. He carried them to multiple Champions League victories, and he's definitely an icon for your team. Hopefully, you know, with a lot more experience managerially, he will come to that Liverpool team and have them become a title rival to United, of course.
And your present player?
The thing is that I don't really like anyone in your team at the moment, but it's got to be Diogo Jota. I can't stand the rest of your team. But Jota is definitely at least someone I like.
An interesting choice you made there, Tubbs. I respect the Stevie G. But yeah, so Keanu, we have to go to a very dark place now. And we have to select United favorite past and present. So why don't you go first, my man?
This is a tough one. I don't like anyone. goodness. Present, I will go for... Geez, this is a hard decision. Let me not lie to you guys. I'm going to go Slabhead Maguire.
Oh, no.
Just because...
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Just because...
Holy.
Man.
Are you...
Listen,
did you
here.
Crap the bed
Listen
last night? Because you're speaking absolute nonsense.
The reason I chose him is for his representation in the last World Cup, and he was made fun of, and that's why.
Wow.
It's not a skill thing. It's a funny thing that I chose him, and I actually don't mind him. He's overhyped and overpriced, and that's why people think he's not that good. And past, I want to say Rooney, but he's got too much bad ties with us. I actually don't like him. So I'll go for Van der Sar, Edwin. Just kept quiet, saved the balls.
Yes, I love you for that.
That's fine. That's all he needed to do. And he wasn't too cocky or in my ears the whole day. So, yeah, I'm picking Edwin.
He's one of the top directors of football at the moment. He's doing bits at Ajax.
But anyway, that is my hard decision.
Cam, hit us up, boy.
All right. So my United... favorite present player would probably have to be Marcus Rashford. I just like the way he plays. He's so energetic all the time. And it's just a great all-round footballer.
The way you go on about Bruno's pens, I'm sure it would have been Bruno, but okay.
No, I'm not a big fan of Fernandes. He's a little ballerina, in my opinion. But I love what Rashford also does outside of football. He's just a really nice guy. If I look at past, it's a toss-up between probably Ronaldo. I think he was really, really good. But I think I'm going to go for Roy Keane. I just love his mentality. It's very like, I'm not going to deal with your nonsense kind of mentality. And he just grinds the whole time. He'd put his body on the line, make big tackles. I know he can be a little bit of a loudmouth and be quite out there in his opinions and the way he analyzes stuff, but you know, he just doesn't take nonsense, and I just kind of like that kind of mentality. There's so many for both teams, just looking at Liverpool and United. There's so many legends within those two teams. But I think we're leaving out so many footballers. So I'm going to just switch it up a bit. And I'm going to give you my past and present, not including the names I've already mentioned, of global footballers. Past would probably be Kenny Dalglish. The things he did for Liverpool back in the day was just insane. And probably present favorite footballer, probably Lionel Messi. He's just a magician. When I watch him, it's incredible. And the success that he's had, and even though this season Barca haven't done necessarily too well, the numbers he keeps putting up season after season after season, man, is just an incredible talent. So those are my two. I'm not sure about you guys. What about you, Keanu?
It's a difficult one because if I had to look at all the players, I think in the past, I didn't mention Torres previously. As I said, it's probably the person that really made me love football the way I do today. I'll choose him, but I think Thierry Henry is also not far behind. Just the way man was a goal-scoring machine and just revolutionized the Premier League, in my opinion.
Also the way he opened himself up in the box. You know, that cut in on the left side of the field. He cuts in and he opens his body up and finish bottom right corner for him. He was just incredible doing that. But that Arsenal team was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, they, Torres and Henry's got some similarities, especially some goals they've scored. So that's my past. And my present,
Kylian Mbappe.
I just have to go for the future Ballon d'Or winner, the person you should invest in, the person that will change the goal scoring records.
I'm going to say something incredibly out there now. For all our listeners out there, I hope this doesn't come back to bite me, but next season, Liverpool, Mbappe.
Yeah, definitely going to bite him, but anyway.
Yeah, a bit bold statement. Too bold. So that's my favorite player at the moment, just because I see so much potential. And as I said, I do believe that if you are a way to invest in him, I think you should, because I think he's going to be in the Ronaldo Messi categories in the future. And what about you, Tubbs?
You know, it was a real big debate. You know, I could always go for another United legend. The one that popped up to mind was Ryan Giggs. You know, 672 caps for Manchester United. Been there since the 1990s. He was Gareth Bale before Gareth Bale was a thing. And then I was also thinking maybe Zidane. He was one of the most revolutionary, you know, midfielders worldwide.
Do you think France, seeing that you said Zidane, if he doesn't headbutt the footballer, forgive me, I forget his name.
They could have won it.
Do you think they could have won?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think he just let his temper get to him.
Very true.
Anyway, my favorite player of the past has to be Xavi.
Interesting.
Really innovator of the game. You know, he was sublime to look at.
Yo, even Iniesta. Whoa.
Yeah, they were just one of the greatest midfield partnerships. I mean, we had Paul Scholes in the midfield. You know, you could make an argument that Scholes was maybe on close to their level, close. But, you know, they were just in a different solar system. And then I'm going to say maybe my favorite current player is going to be... it's going to be Mason Greenwood.
Wow.
I can see why, though, B. Man's talented. He's a United Academy player. He's pretty much like the new Rashford, but he just has so much talent at such a young age. I can see why he would be your favorite player right now. I think it's a little bit biased, but yeah, I can definitely see why he's your favorite player.
I'm not... Okay, this is going to be a little bit maybe controversial, but he's definitely not on the same level as Mbappe. He needs to add a lot to his game, but he has the potential to make it there.
Just on that, how close do you think he's to Foden?
Who? Greenwood. I think Greenwood is a far better player than Foden. He's definitely
had more...
He's had more experience in top flight. I mean, this is Foden's first season.
Wow. I think...
Different
also, I think to be fair to Foden, he's the goals he scored, even if you look at in the Champions League, incredible. But I also think we need to look at who's playing behind Foden. I'd also like Kevin De Bruyne feeding me passes on the daily as well. Whereas I also think if you look at Greenwood, he doesn't have that, but he still makes something. You know, Fernandes isn't a great passer. Fred isn't a good passer. You know, McTominay's not a good passer.
Hush yourselves.
All of that. I honestly just think Greenwood doesn't or plays more because his team is a bit worse. Foden can't get in because there's about 25 people better than him at this moment because his team got more depth. But yeah, we leave it there.
Okay, boys. I just want to have let's just have one last big question. Give me your top five past and present players. Doesn't matter from what league. Doesn't matter from what era, you can combine them all together. And then give me your prediction.
Too many
of
players.
Top five. That's a very simple list. I already have it in my mind. And then give me your predictions of who might be, you know, the next players to dominate the Ballon d'Ors when Messi and Ronaldo bow out.
I'll start with my Ballon d'Or winners. I think it's going to be between Haaland and Mbappe. I don't know who else will be up there, I'm going to be honest. And then five players of all time, five of them.
You can even give three if it's too much to think of.
See, I can't be biased because I would go Torres, Gerrard, Suarez, but that's full on Liverpool. So I'm going to go Gerrard. I'm going to put Mbappe in three. I don't know why, just feel like it's. And then I'm going to go Iniesta just because of that 2010 goal, World Cup winning goal. I can go Ronaldo, Messi, your average Pele, Maradona, your big shots, Ronaldinho's, Eto, Drogba. There's so many to choose from. Yeah, I don't know. That's my top three.
So now I must give top three past and top five past and present combined.
Top three or five, yeah. Combined, up to you.
Be sure, because I couldn't even think of 10 people.
Number one, Gerrard. Number two, probably Lampard.
Oh, wow.
Number three, probably Beckham.
Jeez, Pommy vibes.
I'm not going to choose like Messi, Ronaldo and whatnot. I'm just going to choose probably other names that are there. Probably throw in Philipp Lahm. Really, really love him. And then number five, probably Miroslav Klose.
Jeez, what's those German and English vibes you got going here?
Interesting, no present players of the present day, but...
I was going to, but we've spoken so much about the present day that I thought we might as well just hit a throwback.
No, fair. And who do you think is going to replace Ronaldo and Messi when they bow out?
Mbappe and Haaland.
Okay, cool.
Any other midfielders you think, Cam? Just quickly, Tubbs. Any midfielders like a Frankie, don't know, any Jude Bellingham, any
Frankie
any,
De Jong's
any
great. I think he's been in a Barcelona team that's currently going under construction, so it would be unfair for him to critique him too bad. But I think he is one for the future. Jude Bellingham still a long way to go. I just hope that he doesn't hit his peak before he turns 22, 23. You know.
All right, and then my top five, which I can name them off the top of my head. Number one is gonna be David Beckham. That was my first introduction into football. He was the first number seven for me. I know Eric Cantona was definitely a different class, but you know, Michael Ballack from Chelsea, a brilliant midfielder. He was definitely iconic. You know, if you don't have Lampard on your mind, Michael Ballack is one of them. Ruud van Nistelrooy, one of the most iconic strikers, you know, internationally. Robin van Persie, a great another brilliant striker, brilliant Dutch striker. And last but not least, you know, it's not going to be any present day players, but it's going to be Steven Gerrard once again. And then, yeah, regarding Ballon d'Or, I agree with you guys entirely. I think it's definitely going to be dominated by Haaland and Mbappe. But I definitely have one player on mind by the name of Jonathan David, for, playing currently at Lille.
I want to quickly ask you one question. Just a simple yes, no will do. Do you think Neymar will win a Ballon d'Or, one Ballon d'Or?
I can just do that now. No.
In his career?
No. The ship has sailed for him.
I don't know. I think he definitely hasn't done enough, in my opinion, yet. I think it also depends. I suppose you have to see what happens. It's very unlikely that the Ballon d'Or doesn't come out of Italy, Spain, or the Prem. So Ligue 1, I'm not too sure. I think if Neymar maybe goes back to Barca, maybe after Messi's gone, perhaps, you know, I think it'll be very difficult to put his name up there until he starts hitting the numbers that Haaland and Mbappe are hitting season after season. I think that's a big thing. That's why I don't think Ronaldo will be considered this year either. You know, I mean, even if you look at Lewandowski last season, scored so many goals, and he was unfortunately not given the Ballon d'Or because there wasn't a ceremony. But, you know,
he's unofficially the Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah, everyone in world football knows that he would have won last season. But yeah, that's the current thing, I think.
But it's the same argument with Neymar, though, because he's about to possibly be in a Champions League final.
Yes, you are right, but he has nowhere near the same numbers as Mbappe.
He doesn't, but he's still, I think he's, once again, I think he's one of the players that's been overhyped.
Okay, then I agree with you, but then why didn't Gerrard ever win a Ballon d'Or?
No, he won't.
You get what I mean?
He didn't win the team trophies that was necessary. So that's what I'm saying. I think if Neymar were to...
Yeah, but neither has Neymar really, though.
He hasn't, but it's the same with the Ronaldo incident with the Euros. I think he won champs and then Euros. So that it was like nearly impossible to not give it to him, especially with his numbers in his...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it doesn't... I mean, if you look at Messi will probably win Ballon d'Or this season, and they may not win everything. Ballon d'Or goes to the best player individual in world player. Football. Exactly.
But if the not best, to the best player team. Can win the trophies, if he can win the trophies, it counts in his favor. But irrelevant, I just wanted to hear yes, no from you guys about Neymar. I do think actually he's going to win one. I just don't know when. And I don't know if he's
I think
he's
we
more
can maybe
than...
put a poll up on social media for our followers and whatnot. And see maybe if this is a topic they want us to discuss in the near future. But on that note, gentlemen, it's been a fantastic evening chatting to you. Anything, closing statements from any of you lads?
I hope you guys enjoy episode 3. Episode 4 will be out soon. Keep your eye on our socials and also give our other two podcasts a listen if you have not.
This brings the end to episode 3 of Musings on 39 podcast. I just want to thank you for sticking it out with us till the end. Cam, Kian, I just want to say thank you again to you two. It's been a brilliant episode. To all our listeners out there, consider giving us a follow and likes on Instagram and on Twitter. Also, you can find our podcast wherever you enjoy listening to your podcast app of choice. That could be either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This has been the Musings on 39 podcast team, wishing you a good night and peace out, everyone.
Cheerio.
Peace out.